Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning of a new month, and it's the beginning of a new celebration. Welcome to Heart Talk with Miss E on Tuesday, May 1st, 2012, and I am excited because this is the very first day of National Foster Care Awareness Month, and I feel about this month like I used to feel about Stevie Wonder's birthday. I felt like I was the only one celebrating until I connected with a lot of other Stevie Wonder lovers, and now we've declared it a holiday. So now I have many people that I can celebrate National Foster Care Month with, and I feel like I'm very much a part of the village. And today's program is being launched by something and someone else that I'm just really thrilled to be able to celebrate a one-year birthday, and that is for Foster Focus Magazine that was founded and was founded by former foster youth and editor-in-chief, Mr. Chris Chmielewski. Welcome, Chris.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And happy birthday.
Yes, yeah, a lot of people didn't think we'd make it. I was one of them, but we went all the way through the whole year, so we're getting ready to start the new year.
I'm loving it, and I thank you so much for being a guest on our program, and it's just so neat that it all falls just in perfect timing. And the magazine is so well put together. To be honest, I wasn't even aware. You featured me, and I believe in your November edition, November? Help me out.
Absolutely. No, that's right. We featured you in the guest speaker spot where we feature foster care-related books that are new to the market and that people should be aware of. And you were one of the books that came onto the radar, and we thought we needed to have you on, and you were gracious enough to come on. So now people know a lot about the village.
Yeah, thank you. And at the time, I wasn't aware that you were a baby organization because everything was so professional. It was presented so well. And you just, you know, welcomed me with open arms. And I was very appreciative. And then I started reading more and looking more about you. I said, oh, my gosh. So I'm loving being a partner with you in Foster Focus. And as a matter of fact, Foster Focus Magazine is going to be our sponsor for the whole month of May. So you'll be hearing something about them every single week. And if you are not subscribed to our newsletter, please go to our website, www.forachildsheart.org, and click the link that says join our mailing list. So, Chris, tell us about, first of all, to talk a little bit, because you are a former foster youth, and you were in foster care for, about 5 years?
Correct, yes. I'm a proud foster care alumni. I spent 5 years in the system, like everyone spends in the system. Some of it was good, some of it was bad. Some of it we don't talk about, but overall it was a decent experience, and it set me on a path that I didn't know I was supposed to be on, which was, a nice nudge.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, what was it that prompted you or nudged you to give you to know that you were the one that was called to do this work?
Well, I mean, when I finally aged out of care, and some people call it transitioning, more abruptly, it is aging out. When I caught my breath, I wondered what just happened to me, and I looked for information, and I looked for anything I could find to kind of guide me through what just happened, give me a better understanding of my situation, and there just wasn't that much out there. It was sporadic. It was spread all over the place. It was just hard to find. And I said, well, somebody has got to organize all this and give people a place where they can go when they need to know something about foster care. And I said, I have this little bit of background in newspaper work, and I'm pretty decent at design. And of course, I really enjoyed high school and college when I got to do some layout and things like that. So I thought I'd give it a shot, and I started laying the groundwork about 8 years ago, I think.
Wow. Now, what were some of the questions, when you say what happened to me, because I think that there are things on so many levels. You have the legal aspects, you have the system aspect, you have the familial aspects, the emotional, the mental, the physical. What were some of the questions that you had as a young person transitioning or aging out of the foster care system that you think that young people now would be able to find the answers to in your magazine?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I started the idea, the internet was obviously not nearly as prevalent as it is now. So my first intention was just to find out what, you know, A, my rights were as someone who just left care. Was there any kind of help out there? You know, just kind of someone that would give me a direction like we had when I was in independent living classes. And I just wanted to find those things. And now, you know, with the advent of the Foster Care Alumni of America and you know, the Chameleon Network and One Simple Wish, and there's so many, you know, services and organizations out there that I can bring to light, and I can tell the people, you know, if you're having an issue, this is where you need to go. And, you know, I don't tell anyone I'm a foster care expert, but I know plenty, and I will definitely get you the information that you need to know from a reliable source that's gonna help you on your way, because you shouldn't have to do it alone. Mm-hmm. Family relationships that were damaged, they don't repair magically when you turn 18 or 21, depending on the state that you live in. You know, these things take time. There's going to be a period of time when you leave care, when you're going to be on your own literally and physically and, you know, in every aspect of the word, you're going to be alone, and you need to know that there's something out there that can help you. And if I can gather all those resources for you and I can put them in a place where you can find them and I can give you the information you need to kind of better help yourself, then that's what I'm looking to do for everyone.
Awesome. You know, my experience in working with foster youth is that because youth are from different counties, and even though they might be residing in one county, their resources that they're supposedly eligible for should be providing their services are in another county. And some of those resources vary from county to county, and it makes it even, you know, more difficult for a young person to access them. So here you have a national forum in which you're making connections and being aware of resources in all places, somewhat like, as they would say, a one-stop shop.
And that's the goal. The links page is supposed to be your answer when you have a question. I list, you know, many organizations, and there's more that go on every week, and they are the places that you can go to, and those are the people that are in the position to help you along the way. Whether you be a frontline social worker, or you're a head of an agency, or you need information for a study that you're doing, whatever the case, on my links page on the site, there will definitely be that link available to you. And that's one of the goals, and that's one of the things we strive for, just to give you as much information as we can. That's why we update the headlines from across the country each month. And when I say we, I mean me. But that's why I do it. I do it so that when you go to sleep on Sunday evening, if you want to take advantage of it, you have the ability to have a real grasp on all things foster care that are going on around the country, which I feel will make you better prepared when you go to work the next day. You'll be on top of things. Maybe maybe one of the headlines you read that I found for you, maybe that will be, you know what, I have a kid, and that's, you know what, he has an issue with that, and this is how that person handled it. Well, there you go. Maybe I'm on the right track. So basically, I just want to put, again, as many resources, as much news and foster care information as I can in one place so that, you know, the time is short. I mean, for the frontline worker, they're picking up one child to take them to a doctor's appointment or to a new home or whatever the case, and then they've got to go right back and do their reports and all that good stuff. So, I mean, they don't have a whole lot of time. So if I could put that on there where they can zip through in about 10 to 15 minutes, they can know everything that's going on throughout the country. They can, you know, check on stories that we've written that might apply to something that they go through on a daily basis. If I can do that, then that's just a great service and something that, as I found, it was really needed, and the people are really excited to have it now.
Well, your targeted audience extends beyond the youth themselves.
Absolutely. The Foster Focus magazine is a monthly, in-depth, unbiased look at the foster care industry, all of the foster care industry. You can call it an industry, a community, a system, whatever you like to call it. It is its own entity, and it has many, many, many branches that need attention, that need brought to light. And what we attempt to do is just, as much as we can each issue, we try and cover all of it. You'll find, if you're a foster parent, you will find information that will help you. We have several foster care experts, Dr. Sue Kornbluth, who does a lot of contributing for us. Dr. Kailani Gopal is our question and answer and health and mental wellness person. She's a doctor out of Indiana. So, and we have a lawmaker section that features a Supreme Court lawyer that practiced a foster care case. So all these people come together, and they're here to help you, and they can help you regardless of what part of child welfare you find yourself a part of.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And one of my concerns is, and which one of my goals is, bringing information to the general population, the village, who really has no clue. What would someone who knows nothing about foster care really, what would they benefit from subscribing to your magazine?
Well, I'll tell you what, the great thing about the magazine is because as new as it was to everyone, it was as new to me. I knew what I wanted to get accomplished. I knew the issues that needed to be covered, but I wasn't exactly sure how to make that transition a reality for everyone that was involved. So what I did basically was just try to give you a 101. If you have never done anything regarding foster care, you can go through our archives. You can go through just the issue that we just did. We had a section on the biological kids in a foster family and how they're affected. And in that article, she does lay out the different types of care and the different kinds of foster families that are created. And, you know, if have you never done anything with foster care, that's a great starting point. You say, oh, mm-hmm. Okay, this is a person who actually has a foster family. She has kids of her own. These are the different options I have if I choose to go this route. You know, and you gain a lot from that, just that one story. So I try and do that each month. I try and reintroduce or, you know, introduce an idea about foster care that maybe people weren't aware of. Like, we're going to do something soon about respite care, and a lot of people aren't exactly familiar with what respite care is. So we're going to inform you, and if you choose to be a foster parent or you choose this field, well, you'll have a good feel of what you're in for.
Exactly. That's something I really support strongly and recommend for people who really don't want to do it full-time. But I know, both as a foster parent and an adoptive parent myself, that is one of the most supportive resources to enable a placement to endure, to last, because everybody needs a little break every now and then. And not to be abused, just to get rid of the kids. But I believe that kids need a break from the adults sometime, and the adults need a break from the kids. I remember when I was working in an adolescent day treatment program, we were doing a parents group. And so I asked one of the parents, did they have respite services? And someone said, you know, well, what is respite? And this lady said, well, her grandmother put it like this, respite is where you rest the pit. Yeah, oh, everybody needs some rest a bit.
So it's like having a substitute teacher. It's always exciting.
So I really like that concept. And one of my goals is in promoting the magazine is to put it in the hands of people who really don't have a clue, to be able to put it in the waiting areas of doctor's offices, because I have an issue even just as a foster parent having taken a child to the doctor and wrote something on the chart to say to them, to give them know, you know, that not all the family information is available, and they come in and ask stupid questions and I want to just pull their tongues out. And I think
I've heard
there's
that, yes.
Such a feel, you know, a wide, you know, variation of other professions. You know, even though they're professional, they still don't have a clue. It's what happens in the days in the life of our youth. And if they do, it's a stereotype.
Yes, yes. And that's one of the things we had to overcome was the stigmas that are attached to foster youth. But the benefit to the mainstream picking up a little bit of this information is a lot of people don't know that they know someone involved in foster care. But think about it this way. There are 400,000 to 450,000 kids in foster care in any given year, depending on the resource that you use. Okay? So you have to assume that there's a caseworker for those kids, that there are, you know, heads of agencies for those kids, that there are natural parents for those kids. Those kids have so many people attached to them. So if it's 400,000, it's got to be 1.2 million. It just has to be. And you probably know someone, whether you know it or not, whether... The foster care community has always been a little guarded. It's always been a little quiet. It's always been, we're here, we're doing our best, leave us alone and let us do our job. But more recently, it's been, we're here, we're working very hard, you need to be aware of what we're doing because these are your kids. And so now that it's coming into the mainstream, you know, these people are getting the recognition that they deserve, and you know, I'm just so fortunate to be a part of what I see is a change in the trend. Never again do I think we'll have to deal with the two stories that all newscasts have about foster care, the extremely horrible, just awful story, and then, of course, the lady that fostered, you know, 480 kids in 20 years, and isn't she great? And she is great, don't get me wrong, but there's a whole lot that goes on between that horrible thing that happened on the one end of the spectrum and that lady that fosters all those kids. There's an army of social workers and office managers and, oh, goodness, psychiatrists and doctors, and the list goes on. And all those people at some point deserve a little recognition. CASA volunteers are the most neglected of the army, and they do the bulk of the work. So, you know, someone has to jump in and say, you know, hey, look, that person that's your Little League coach is also a CASA worker, and would you like to know what a CASA worker does? Well, here it is, you know?
Why do you think for all these many years that there hasn't been more emphasis placed on the work that's being done now with the alumni associations, with the work that you're doing, and the foster, well, I call it foster pride, because one of the things that I experienced when I started celebrating National Foster Care Month is that most of the activities were all geared towards acknowledging the workers and the foster parents. And I didn't really see anyone celebrating the accomplishments of the youth. And so I started calling ours our foster pride event and month. But what do you think... I asked a double question, huh? What do you think?
That's okay. I followed it.
Okay. Well, if you followed it, I'll let you jump right in there.
It's the internet. It's the 100%. It's the internet. It completely changes the landscape for advocates, for alumni. It levels the playing field in a way that we've never had before. So now that we have a level playing field, let's go to work. I mean, the Foster Care Alumni Association, and obviously I enjoy them because I am alumni, and, you know, you have to support those that are in the same boat as you. So I'm alumni, so I promote FCAA highly, and I appreciate all that they do. But they do things like the Pillars of Success program, which I was fortunate to be a winner of, and Derek Clark. A lot of people know him as Derek Never Give Up Clark. It was one. And, of course, the young lady from the Camp to Belong, Lynn Price, was another. And that features somebody that helps in the foster care community, whether it be alumni or a friend of alumni. And because we have the Internet, because we have Facebook, because we have web pages, because we have LinkedIn and Twitter and all these great tools at our disposal, which, by the way, are free. That's key for foster youth. It's free. Don't have to pay a dime. You can utilize it. You can tell everyone what you're up to and what's going on, what's important to you. And if they share that interest, they're going to chime in too. There's communities all over Facebook, Twitter, obviously, is a monster as far as getting your message out. I mean, you got to utilize these things, and SCAA does that great, and the Camellia Network out of California does that terrifically. Mayor and PA Swan, the Adoption Networks, they all do this fantastically, and it's making a big difference. And so the pride that you're feeling is that we don't have to hide anymore. We can come out and we can say, yeah, you know what, I was in foster care. And, yeah, it wasn't a normal upbringing, and maybe it was a little rougher than your upbringing, but, you know what, I'm just as good as you, I'm just as normal as you, and then I've got an entire community of people that have gone through the same thing and can say the same thing about themselves. So that's nice, and the answer is obviously the Internet. The Internet levels the playing field for everyone. I mean, this magazine wouldn't be what it is without the Internet, so... You know, I love the Internet. I love Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, and I hope we stay a part of the community for a long time.
Exactly. And I know for me, it really has made a difference. And my village has become larger. I feel like I've got so many more children, and I've also met other advocates online, and it's just been wonderful, because I had a radio program 8-9 years ago, but it didn't go nearly as far as this one has, and you know, I've had a much larger selection of guests. It's easier to get everybody on the line, and yeah, technology is awesome when it works. Which brings me to another point, talking about, you know, the digital age. I know that your subscription is available both as a digital subscription as well as, I would say, the hard copy. Tell us about that.
Well, I noticed that a lot of people, my pass-along rate, which is what in magazine terms is, does your magazine get handed to the next person? And that rating is fantastic. And I thought, well, how can I give a little bit more exposure to the product? And so some of the VIPs said, well, you know, I don't have time to leaf through the magazine. If you had something online, digital or anything like that, that I could just look at and research or a resource that I could have, that'd be great. So I decided I'm a print guy. I love the magazine. I love the ink. I love the paper. You get into this because you love the print side of things. But at the same time, it's a digital age, like you said. The people that I deal with are movers and shakers, and they move fast, and they don't have a lot of time. So if I can make it easier for them, then I will. And it turned out that a digital copy is as useful to them as a print copy is to someone in an agency. So I offer both at the website, fosterfocusmag.com.
Yes, I see. I was just about to tell you to drop your website information there, right there, but you did it instinctively. So if you give it to our listeners one more time.
Yes, it's www.fosterfocusmag.com. And after a year, I kind of just say it, without even thinking about it.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because this is where, you know, they talk about the digital divide, and I thought I was on the progressive side of it, and I realized how far behind I really am, even though I have a computer and I can do all these great things, until I started talking to some of the young people about things that I had sent to them, and I realized a lot of times they're responding to my emails or my Facebook posts from their telephones on a screen that I can't even see without my glasses. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, well, you should just get this app and that app. It's like, you know what? I think I'll stick here. And I'm like you. I like print, even in terms of books, even though my book is now in e-format, e-book. I have never used a Nook or what's the other one called?
Kindle, yeah.
Yeah. I don't even want it because I like turning the pages. I like using my highlight marker. I like being able to photocopy a copy and put it up on my wall. So even when you did the article up for me, I kept saying, well, is the heart one in the mail? It's like, okay, I can read this, but I want to take it around with me because after sitting at the computer for a while, I like to sit out in the sun and read or sit on the bed or do something. So my subscription is going to be, I keep saying hard copy. What's the proper reference?
That's a fine way to call it. We call it print, but hard copy is fine. And that's a little old school. And you don't have to worry about that because there's a lot of us that like to keep on to the past because it feels and it means a little more. I feel like my contributors really like to receive the hard copy of the magazine or the print copy as opposed to the digital copy because they want to see their work, you know, where they can touch it and they can show it to their friends and it's a real tangible thing. So, and that's the reason that I could have easily done a blog. I could have easily just had a website. But it's the tangible aspect of it that makes you feel like you've accomplished something. So, you know, and it also, it doesn't hurt when you're exhausted and you get to see all your work in a print form and then you're like, okay, I'll get back to work. You know, it gives you a little extra motivation.
Yeah, for those of us who have computer addictions, especially Facebook. One of the questions I also wanted to go back, we were talking about, you know, the difference between young people being able to connect online now via the internet. Going back to when you were coming out of the system, and I know that, you know, there was a rough period for you, and maybe you'll share a little bit more in detail about your experience coming out. But I'm wondering, did you know or communicate or associate with any other young person who had come through or was coming through the system to be able just to compare life notes?
Not so much. Back then, a school would have maybe 8 to 10 foster kids. There were a lot more of us out there, but we were scattered. Pennsylvania has a lot of schools, so we were heavily scattered throughout the different counties and districts. But I did have a foster brother and several foster brothers throughout the years, and you try and keep touch. It's hard. This was a time when a beeper was like the iPhone. It was the newest thing to have. So, I mean, it was hard to keep in touch with everyone. I will talk a little bit about it. When I aged out of care, and when I say I aged out, at a certain point you kind of feel like, and this is a lack of information, you feel like maybe your foster parents are kind of footing the bill for you, and maybe you're taking advantage of that. And I was, this was when the age out was 18, and I had signed some waivers, and I had gotten to stay a little longer. But I started to feel like a burden, and so I kind of voluntarily aged out. But there was a good couple of weeks there when I wasn't really sure what was going to happen, I had moved out, so the state obviously is notified that you're no longer in the system. And with that news, the school district that I was in decided that since they couldn't prove I was a student in the district, they couldn't allow me to graduate. And now, mind you, this was a few weeks short of graduation.
Wait, slow down. Back up. I missed that. Say this again. This is the kind of stuff that annoys me, so I just want to make sure I get it right.
Okay, so when you leave the foster care system, the state, the county, everyone's notified, you know, children and youth, depending on, you know, what agency you're with. They're all notified, and therefore the school is notified, okay?
Okay.
The school has to verify that you're a student in their school district, and since the place I was living at, I didn't have to pay any rent or bills and didn't have any mail in my name, they couldn't prove that I was a student, and I obviously couldn't prove I was a student because I didn't have that proof either. So just 3 weeks short of graduation, they told me I was no longer a student at the school. And now your first inclination is to get angry, Missy, because I know you have a motherly instinct. But luckily for me,
now
somebody else had a motherly instinct.
Out of high school, right?
Out of high school, yes, ma'am. But luckily for me, someone else had a motherly instinct, and Wendy Middleton, who ironically now writes the family adventure section for me. Wendy Middleton was my best friend Dave's mother, and she said, "Well, what are you going to do? Just sit and pout?" She took me over to the office to get the equivalency test, and then she took me to the college to get enrolled. And before I knew it, I was in college. So, I mean, it could have gone the other way. It easily could have gone. I didn't have anyone to help me. I didn't have any resources. I didn't have any friends. Whatever the case would have been, I could have easily ended up as the 50% of foster care alumni that end up homeless. And that's something during Foster Care Month I think we need to say maybe one more time. We make up 1% of the population, okay, and yet we make up 50% of the homeless population for the country. And someone told me that if we all as a community, foster care alumni and foster kids that are in now, if we all combined and got in the same exact place at the same exact time, we'd be larger than Atlanta.
Wow.
Wrap your head around that. Yeah. So we're all out there, and so don't forget that. And that's what this month is all about. Don't forget, you know, we have the luxury of going through this all day, every day. We obviously care about foster care, and we want to make it better in any way we can. So we're in the trenches, and we know we're aware every day. But there's people that aren't aware every day. And maybe you left care, okay? And maybe you tried to close that chapter in your life, and maybe now you're completely normal. You're a hardworking, law-abiding citizen. That's great. Tell these kids who are in care now how to do that, please. Come back. And don't shut it out of your mind. Come back. Tell these kids how to do it so that my job's easier and there aren't as many problems in foster care and I don't have to report on anything but good stories.
Exactly. Wow. That just touched the nerve with me because I just actually had a little interaction with the adult school this week, and I was just thinking about some of the questions they ask, not even being aware without having to go into details. It's just, again, that's just another area. So I think I've determined what my regular contribution is going to be to Foster Focus. Yeah, we're going to go into the village and dig out some things and feed the village, water it. I had the opportunity to attend an awesome transitional aged youth conference co-sponsored by the Casey Foundation and Alameda County here in California on Friday. And it was one of the most encouraging conferences I ever attended because, as I say, you know, I usually have no problems dealing with the young people. It's the adults I usually have issues with, and the majority of the adults spoke my language, and it was so neat. And one of the things, when you're talking about the homeless, even the temporary homelessness, they talked about some law being changed that certain college campuses are not going to close their dorms during the holidays, as they do, because a lot of our former foster youth have no place to go. Here they've succeeded, they've graduated, they're going on to get their college education, and one of our young ladies, I was in tears because she didn't tell me, she was out of state, and that she actually ended up in a homeless shelter because, you know, for 2 weeks during the break and Christmas break and winter break or whatever, or 3 weeks, she had no place to stay. And that just brought tears to my eyes. I was just, you know, hurt and angry. And then another time, you know, she came back to the area. But again, like you said, those biological family ties don't automatically fix themselves. And she stayed in a hotel. And it's like, wow, these are just the little things that we don't think about. And what could the village be doing in response to that? So I think we're going to have a monthly call to the village.
And now, in regards to that, you've got to remember, though, we're making some ground because, like you just said, now they've changed the rule. There's more equality there. There's free college. There's free college tuition in Washington State for foster youth. I mean, there's many more programs than there are obstacles nowadays. Which is, you know, if you're a kid in foster care, obviously it's a terrible situation. But you've got hope. I mean, you've got a lot of folks out there that are pulling for you. Jimmy Wayne, when we covered Jimmy Wayne, the country music star, he's the spokesperson for CASA and for Foster Club. When we spoke on the phone, we had many similarities because whether you made it to a number one hit song, or whether you're still, you know, scrapping away at the McDonald's, you know, the stories are the same. So if the stories are the same, then the fixes have to be the same. Or if we don't have a fix, we've got to create one. So that's another thing that kind of unites all of us and kind of is going to help us all get equal ground. And when I say all of us, what I'm speaking of is I'm talking about the advocates, and they get no publicity, but they're out there every day. I mean, you and I have the benefit of seeing them on Facebook and getting the emails from them and understanding what their plights are, but not everybody does. But, you know, like I said, chances are you know somebody, and that somebody is probably working very hard to advocate for foster care or the foster parents. There's a lot of organizations designed for the foster parents, in addition to the alumni for the kids and of course the kid groups. And there's some outlets for those kids too. There's a magazine called Represent, which is you know, youth driven, and we'll collaborate with them later in the year to get some more youth content. We have a young man from the Chameleon Network, and I'm excited about the Chameleon Network because we're to celebrate our 1 year. I don't know if you want to call it an anniversary or survival, whatever the case is. To celebrate that, we decided to hold an online auction, and a lot of, and you as well, a lot of the writers that we've featured throughout this year are going to be donating their books and their training and their CDs and their time. And I got a fella up in, he's not from North Dakota anymore. He's from Arizona now, but he's donating an Afghan that was beautifully crafted. A lifelong friend of mine, his father's business is donating a birdhouse. So there's a lot of stuff, and we're going to celebrate it, and we're going to give all that money, 100%. We're going to give it all to the Chameleon Network, and they're a group that has a registry for kids that are aging out. And you can physically help that kid that you're reading about with what he's got going on. So if he needs a computer, you can say, you know, back in the day, you had to say, oh, well, you know, I could give this money, but who knows if he's going to get it. You can click on it, and then you bought it for him, and then he's going to get it. That's his. And to a foster kid, and, you know, obviously I'm a former foster kid, possessions are an amazing thing to have. My wife thinks I'm a hoarder because I don't like to throw anything away. But when you work so hard and you struggle so long to have things, well, why would you throw them away?
And had things left behind because of sudden unexpected moves, and somebody snatched your things up and you left things from place to place, or you were in a group home and somebody stole them.
Yeah, all those things are important. You know, again, Jimmy Wayne, you know, we have a lot in common. I mean, he still keeps all of his, you know, his toothbrushes and toothpaste and everything in a plastic bag in case he has to get in a hurry. I mean, you don't really lose that mentality. I mean, if I walk into a room of unfamiliar people, I'm the biggest ham you'll ever meet. I love to talk, but, you know, put me in a room full of people I don't know. I'm just like a child. It takes me a while to warm up and know that it's a safe place. And it's not even a mental thing at this point. It's just a force of habit at this point. You don't even know you're doing it anymore. I mean, heck, I slept on the couch close to the door just so I can hear if there was any trouble for years. My wife thought I was nuts.
But there are instincts, survival instincts.
Yeah, you don't lose those.
Exactly. So what has been the biggest surprise for you this year in working on your magazine?
Well, first, that people answer the phone when I call. That's a great feeling in its own right. Obviously, when I started, the name recognition was a bit of a problem. I'm gaining a little ground there. The surprising thing would be, you know, just how amicable everyone is. From the writers who are more than happy to contribute, to the agency heads who I call when I don't understand something, to the foster care experts that give me their time without compensation, the relationships that I get to have, you know, based on the magazine are great. But the number one surprise for me was that the people responded the way they did. I get all kinds of emails and notes on the Facebook saying how unique the magazine is, and and how it's not like anything else on the market, and what a great resource, and we've been waiting, and all those great things. And every single one of those great things means the world to me, because it shows that the nights that I don't get to sleep, and the days that I struggle on the phones to get as many people aware of the magazine as I can, you know, it makes it so that that's worth it. And, you know, I'll continue to call agencies one at a time and make sure that they know who I am and what I'm about and what I'm doing. And I'll also continue to kind of give a little bit more clarity to this system, to this industry. You mentioned the Casey family. Oh, my goodness, the Casey family. They have, I think, 6 programs. And I'm not entirely sure everyone knows what each of them do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a little family tree, and you can see what the Casey family does, and you can see which programs and which foundations and which are the Casey programs that, you know, that apply to you. So, and that's the great thing about the magazine. If I don't understand it, you're going to find out what it's all about, because I want to understand it. So if Casey program, if the Casey family has 6 branches of the Casey family, I want to know what all of them do, and I'm sure you do as well. So we're going to break all that down, and you'll have a good understanding of what's going on. And that's been the goal from day one. I want to give everyone a better understanding of what's going on. I mean, think about all of the adversity and all of the drama and all of the emotions that get wasted because they simply don't know exactly what's going on with their kid, with their nephew, whatever the case is. There's a lot of anger there because they don't understand what's happening. Well, you know, I'm here and I'm telling you exactly what's happening. The foster care experts that I have helping me, they're going to tell you exactly what's happening. And then you can maybe take a step back, take a breath, understand that the people that are doing all of this on the behalf of the child are doing it for his best, in most cases, you know, let me say that, in most cases are doing it for his or her best interest. And, you know, if I can take some of the animosity out of the equation, take some of the emotion out of the equation, and kind of give people an understanding like they understand everything else in their life, well, then I think that's just going to help things move along. That's going to make for a better, more flowing system, and then we can get more done. Or at the very least, it'll cause, you know, a discussion. And discussions are just the preamble to change. So.
I like that. I like that. Discussion
will
change. So we're going to put that down, because, and that actually helps me, because I'm the kind of person that likes to do, and I get frustrated. As much as I like to talk, believe it or not, I get frustrated when we have to have this long discussion that seems to be going nowhere, but then I realize change actually takes place in the mind and in the heart before it usually manifests itself in something tangible. So I will keep that in mind. I'm going to give you that one, too. So thank you. Thank you very much. And when you were talking about the things that surprised you most, you pretty much answered my next question, because I was going to ask you, what have been the major challenges?
The time. See, no one in this field gets rich. It's a tough racket, and you know, so you spend a lot of time. You don't quit your day job. You work as hard as you can, and you hope for the best. And I've always been of the thinking that if there's money to be had, it will come. I'm not concerned about it. I mean, you know, we've discussed it before. I go issues at a time without even calling advertisers, because I'm more concerned with the content of my product. And if the advertisers see the value, and a lot of them have, I don't have a dedicated sales force to that need, but if they see that this is a place that people are attaching themselves to and responding to, well, then they'll come along. And a lot of them have already, and I hope that they've seen a little bit of traffic due to being a part of the magazine. So. I know a lot of my writers have, so I'm very proud of that fact. I'm very proud of the fact that a lot of the books that we featured, a lot of the writers that have helped us out have gotten a little bit better of the lifestyle, which is always nice to have.
And I love your passion, because very many people do not have that. It's like I remember hearing a quote somewhere that says that, you know that you're following your calling and your destiny when you do something and you enjoy it so much that you would do it if you didn't get paid for it. But you do it so well, someone would pay you for it. So, and I hear that with you, and I love it. And as much as I feel that myself, I still have the tendency to want to protect. So you see that I drop your little notes to tell you, you know, take a nap, go do this, do that.
That's a great line. That's a fantastic line. And you know what? I'm a realist. I gave the magazine 5 years before it would get any kind of notoriety or success. I'm very pleased to say that I'm a couple of years ahead of my projections, which is great because, you know, it's a testament to the idea and the product, and it's also a testament to staying true to your plan. I mean, I definitely, when I thought of this, you know, you don't spend 8 years laying the groundwork for something and then not know exactly what you want to do when you have that opportunity. So this is just, you know, opportunity meeting preparation. And I'm a big John Wooden fan, so that's something that I always, you know, come back on. And then, of course, I'm a big Jimmy V fan, Jimmy Valvano, who unfortunately passed away from cancer, but his big claim to fame was, don't give up, don't ever give up. So, you know, when you get tired, you just got to walk outside, let the cold air hit you, and get right back to work. So
Exactly. Speaking of which, tell us a little bit about when you first went out to get support or help to put the contents of the magazine together. I love the story that you're going to somebody's office and you said, the lady said, well, you know, it'll be a while. You said, okay, I'll just wait here.
Yeah, I'm kind of dramatic that way. That would be Mr. Greeley, who writes our lawmaker section. He's a great attorney from the town where I live in Pennsylvania, and he's obviously a really nice guy to have helped me. But when I first approached them, like you said, she said he's going to be out for a while, and I said, well, you know, I have nothing to do, and I just sat down and waited. And then when he came into the room, I said, well, okay, I'm not leaving until we at least talk. So he was gracious enough to let me speak to him, and I told him my idea. And just like a number of people after him, once he heard the idea, he got excited. And that's when you know you have a good product. When someone who's been in the industry for 30 years, like Mr. Greeley has, and he's excited. I mean, just to get someone excited in a stagnant industry in its own right, you know, is worth all the time and effort. But yeah, he was nice enough, and he said, you know, not only will I write this for you, but I'll write your recommendation too. And that was 8 years ago. So when I came back, he said, all right, here's my first article. I'll see you in 8 years. And he reminds me all the time how old I look now, and you know, so that's it's a really nice, those relationships that you develop with folks that maybe you shouldn't have, not that you shouldn't have, but folks that you wouldn't have an opportunity to have a relationship with, those are great. We're gonna feature Mr. William Pierce, who's the head of Casey Family Programs, and you know, to just have the opportunity to speak on the phone with someone with that kind of influence, with that kind of background, you know, for me that's a dream come true, because I honestly didn't think that people of that caliber would respond to what I'm doing, but they have, and they've been more than gracious with their time and their talents for writing and their passion about the. You said about passion. Oh, you got to hear Mr. Pierce speak. I'll tell you what, it'll raise the hairs on your arm, and it'll make you want to go out and start adopting children. He's just a fantastic speaker, and when I hear speakers like that, I want to see how it translates to the written word, and if it can be in my publication, well, that's just fantastic. But I want to see it, even if it's not in my publication. So, yeah, mainstream, like we talked about a little bit while back there, mainstream is definitely the goal of the magazine. I'm sure you're going to start asking me about goals, but mainstream is one of the goals. I'd like to make it so that when you say foster care, it's just like saying, you know, traffic jam. I mean, you know exactly what it is, you know the ins and outs of it, and you know how to handle it accordingly. So that's one of the goals, Missy. Yeah, I didn't mean to jump on your next question.
No, go ahead. We're in a flow now.
Well, the other goals, obviously, besides name recognition, and you know, for as long as you can ask anyone who knows me, as long as I've been alive, I've wanted to be the best at whatever it is I was doing. So I obviously want to make to put the magazine on a platform where it is competing with the bigger magazines, or at least in the same discussion. There's a lot of talks about branching out, and this year we're going to make an effort to try and get into some libraries and some things like that. I've been working on a pictureless version of the magazines for prisons in the hopes that maybe some information will help with what they're trying to get accomplished. Obviously, it'll be a bare-bones skeleton, just text edition, but I'm hoping that that's just that little information for these guys, if they have a family member in care, that it'll help with the anger. Because there's, as you know, when someone takes your child, you're going to get mad.
Mm-hmm.
And if this can help quench some of that anger and kind of add to the ease of the process, because this process goes a lot easier when everybody knows what's going on and they're all on the same page and they all understand what everybody's working for. So if we can help add to that level of calmness and help the process go a little smoother, well, then I think we're doing a real good service. I'd also like to get some of these young children that we're featuring in the Anonymous Faces section, I'd like to see a lot more adoptions. I think fostering to adopt is a great option if you were thinking about foster parenting. Fostering to adopt. My wife is pretty fragile when it comes to children, so when we talked about foster parenting, that was one of her issues, the fact that, oh, goodness, she couldn't give them back, and that's understandable. So, you know, knowing what I know, I said, well, we can always foster to adopt if we wanted to go that route. Now, not everybody has that in the back of their mind, that that's another option. You know, they go right to the adoption, and generally they don't look at foster children. But foster children, when I left care, my number one concern was who can I call? And that's every kid's number one concern. Who can I call? Now, fortunately for me, I had Mrs. Middleton and of course, my friends and the development of starting to you know, rekindle the relationship I had with my natural family. So, I mean, I had that opportunity. But there's kids, I mean, I would call just to know, do I separate my clothes when I wash them? How do I balance a checkbook? Simple things that if you're around a child all the time, he's going to pick up. But if you're in this entity that is foster care and maybe there's four other kids in your house, you're not going to get that attention that you need, whether the foster parent, you know, can figure out a way to do that or not. They're not going to get all the attention that they need. So they need an extra person or maybe that person that they can call to after they leave care. Maybe it's settled down in the house. They don't foster so many kids anymore. And they can spend a little time with that young man and say, oh, here's what you have to do. You got to separate the whites from the darks and in the warm water, cold water, the whole night. You know, they need that. They need that more than they need your money. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't want to help foster youth, or they don't want to adopt foster youth because they think that it's going to burden their pocketbook. We don't want your money at all. We want your ear. We want your support. We want you to tell us, you know, if we're doing something that we shouldn't be doing as far as, you know, how we're handling our money or something to that effect. We just need a parent, you know, whether we like it or not, whether we yell at you or not, we need a parent because we don't know everything. Again, I know. We think we do, and I speak from the mindset of a teenager aging out of care. We surely think we know everything we need to know, but, you know, we don't. And then again, I was fortunate. My natural parents kind of taught me everything I needed to know to survive, and then the foster care system just reinforced all those things I was taught. So I was fortunate in that regard, but there's a lot of kids who aren't. And, you know, when it comes down to the bottom line, what we're doing this for, we're doing it so that the kid that doesn't know what to do has a place where he can go and at least get some answers or at least some direction or a connection to one of the organizations that we feature or that we highlight or that we do the nonprofit profile about. You know, these things are here for them. They need to know that they're available, and the goal will continue to be making sure that we're the number one source of foster care news and information that is useful to everyone in foster care.
Awesome. Just totally awesome. Well, I commend you for your heart and your hard work, and for, as you said earlier, you know, coming back. It's like it's you really never left, but when you make the call, the former foster youth, you know, to come back, it's like bring your heart back to recall what you needed and just provide, even if you just do that for one, you know, it's just, it makes a difference. It just makes one difference because the line says, you know, each one reach one, each one teach one, but it's always going to impact more than one person. You're going to impact everyone that that one person comes into contact with. And so I am grateful that those that touched you have touched all of us. It's just an extension of the care and of the love and the stick-to-itness, you know, just to hang in there, be consistent, be committed. And I know that it's definitely more than paying off. So tell our listeners about how they can subscribe and what their subscription costs are.
Okay. You can go to fosterfocusmag.com and you can either navigate the site or you can just put /subscriptions. And we have two options. You can be billed. We'll send you an invoice either way, but you can be billed or you can pay through PayPal. And, of course, there's the digital option. There's the single copy option. So you can try us out or you can go full board into it. Either way, we're happy to have you. Everybody that subscribes is a member of the Foster Focus family. Goes back to the whole always wanting a family thing for foster kids. So I kind of adapted that to the subscriptions and the contributors. We're all one big Foster Focus family. So, you know, definitely do that and do the auction, because that's going to be important to those kids out in California that are transitioning or aging out, whatever you'd like to call it. And we'll have that site up. That'll be up from the 7th through the 28th, and you can bid as many times as you like. We have signed copies of books by Rhonda Shortino, you, obviously, and a whole mess of other people. And there's a preview page. You'll find a yellow box on the front page of the website, fosterfocusmag.com, and you can click on that and get a little bit of a preview of what's out there and what's available. But it's not just me. I just want to, before I get off the line with you, I love the subscriptions. Get as many as you can. A lot of agencies try and do 5 to 10 so that all of the employees you know, have access to it. But, you know, at the very least, please, you know, if you can, you know, help the folks that are really working hard. Help the folks at the SCAA and a lot of the other places that I mentioned, the Camellia and, of course, Miss E. But help these folks, you know, support these folks. These folks are on the front line. I am simply reporting what's going on the front line. I'd like to see a real push for people to really go out of their way to get involved with folks like the SCAA or the Child Welfare League of America or CASA. CASA is key. If you can be a CASA person, you know, please, they need you. And if you can be a foster parent, that's great. That's great. But if you can't be a foster parent, think about respite care. It's a weekend to a week most times, and you're helping a whole lot of people by doing it. So there's a million things that we can promote and we can say, you know, support and be a part of. But you know, rather than talk about it, just go out and do it. And this is a great month to do it. You're fired up. You're passionate right now. It's foster care awareness. Everybody's, you know, real amped up to bring awareness to foster care, and that's great. It needs to go on the other 11 months of the year too. But while it's hot right now, do all you can. Volunteer. Do anything you can. And of course, you know, come to fosterfocusmag.com and find out what other folks are doing. But do all you can, because, you know, Miss E says it's a village, and the United States is one giant village. So we all need to do something. There's a lot of kids that need help.
Exactly. And I am putting out a request to listeners. I have a goal and a request that will benefit both of our agencies as well as some young people. This is the first year I am so proud. One of our foster care alumni, Ms. Karina Blackman, has launched the very first foster care graduation celebration for our foster youth in our county, here in Solano County in Northern California. And we will be having, and I say we because I have joined in to work with that committee, to have an event on June 26th of, yeah, that's next month now, 2012. And we have 20 foster care graduates. Each of them we are looking at providing a scholarship for, and they're each going to receive a gift basket containing items that they will need for whichever path they're taking, whether they're going to college or they're moving into their own apartment or whether they're going to the military. And in that basket, I would like for each of them to have a year subscription to Foster Focus magazine. So I am asking if any of our listeners would designate For Child's Heart and the Solano County Foster Care graduates as the recipient for a one-year subscription to Foster Focus magazine. And we would be so grateful. And our newsletter is coming out, and I will be featuring at least one of the graduates that comes directly from For Child's Heart. She was actually our guest on last week, and we have others who've gone on and give you some reports from those who actually, we have one graduate this year as well from college this year. So I'm just really excited. We will be featuring each of those, and we're asking that you will support us in supporting our young people. So you have the email for Chris. Give him your email.
It's chris@fosterfocusmag.com. And I'll tell you what I'll do for you, Missy. If your listeners will pay for 10, I'll match it, and I'll do the other 10 for free.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. So then we can double our efforts. Wonderful. Thank you so very much. And
absolutely.
Our email is heart@forachildsheart.org, or you can send it to Miss E, MS.E, at forachildsheart.org. And so I am just so excited to be working with you, Chris, and anything that I can do to help, please let me know. And if you're on the West Coast, please come in so we can do a face-to-face interview for Visions for a Child's Heart. And if I'm in your area, I will definitely connect. We want our listeners to join us instead of doing our bi-monthly programming this month. We will have a program every single Tuesday. We've been blessed to have 5 Tuesdays in this month. So we have a real lineup for you. We have Dr. Cassandra Humphrey, who's known as Cookie Humphrey, a former foster youth trainer, motivational speaker, and author of the book All Cookies Ain't Sweet. Following that, we have Ms. Mimi Paris, who's the author of the book Funny, P-H-U-N-N-Y, and also has a blog on the Internet. I don't have that address with me right now. And then we have Ms. Heather O'Neill, who is the author of the proposal to implement a National Foster Care Children's Day. And I will actually be a guest on her program on the 15th, and I think she's going to be with us on the 22nd, and then we have a surprise for you on the 29th. So please stay connected with us. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell the youth, tell the village, and let us know. Drop us a line and let us know how you enjoy our program. If there's anything in particular you would like for us to discuss, if you have a recommendation of someone that you think would to our young people. And so we just thank you. And, Chris, do you have any closing words for our listeners?
Well, first I want to say I love Mimi and Heather. They're great. I can't wait to listen to the shows this month. I appreciate you having me. I appreciate what you're doing for the community there. And if I come to the West Coast and that graduation sounds like a good reason to do something like that, I will definitely see you face-to-face. And I thank all your listeners for giving me an hour of their time.
Awesome. So in the meantime, we say God bless. Continue to do something special for a child's heart. Good night.
Heavenly Mother, crying, leave the children. Your heart is breaking.